Annie E. Casey Foundation.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and the Florida Law Group, protecting the rights of the wrongfully injured. Since 1984, the Florida Law Group is dedicated to creating strong and lasting relationships, lasting connections with their clients and our community. More at thefloridalawgroup.com. And support, by the way, if you have a car you no longer need, think about using it to support WMNF. Donating a car, truck, or other vehicle is a great way to support the causes you care about most, like your station. Now visit WMNF.org or call 888-966-3885. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is Community Radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session. This is a forum on the executive branch of your United States government. My name's John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. We recognize and we welcome all viewpoints. We require civility, as we are convinced that radio can still be the back fence of the nation, a place where reasonable people can hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they still don't agree. And you can join the conversation this afternoon and every afternoon, Monday through Thursday at this time at 813-239-9663. Or by email, you can reach the studio at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Be sure and find Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page so that you can see all the links to the material we're discussing that day and join the conversation there. Lots of things happened. It actually seems to have been a relatively quiet weekend with regard to the executive branch. There weren't any bombshells. We actually considered the possibility along toward the end of last week that we might be looking at the Mueller report and its disposition through the Attorney General, and that didn't happen. So what we're looking now at is the president is talking about a deal with China, and he's on his way to Hanoi to talk to the leader of North Korea, so we shall see. Closer to home, the White House is planning to assemble a group of federal scientists to challenge the National Climate Assessment's conclusions on the urgency of climate change. Now, the National Climate Assessment is put together by government scientists. This is not an independently, this is not from a university. It's not from a private organization. This is from the United States government. And this is a quote. The Trump administration is planning to create an ad hoc group of federal scientists to counter the government's conclusions on climate change, the Washington Post reported on Sunday. National Security Council initiative would feature scientists who challenge the seriousness of climate change and the degree to which humans are the cause of climate problems. This is according to three unidentified administration officials who talked to the Post. Additionally, the White House is apparently moving closer to try to defund Planned Parenthood by moving to prevent women's health clinics under Title X not only from providing abortions, but even advising women about them. And this is a quote from an article on that the link is on the Facebook page. Before the Trump administration even announced a rule to stop Title X family planning program sites from providing abortions or even sharing information about where to receive the procedure, the responses from advocates on both sides of the issue began pouring in. So this is a quote from Dr. Jen Conte, who's a fellow with the advocacy group Physicians for Reproductive Health. This gag rule is not only unconscionable, but it undermines medical ethics by forcing healthcare professionals to withhold accurate and timely medical information from patients. Now, this is not banning clinics that are funded by Title X from providing abortions, which they are currently prohibited from doing. This is a prohibition on the doctors talking to women, the doctors counseling their patients, giving their patients medical information on advisability or the possibility or even the location where such services are provided. So here's a question for you. Are these examples of denials of science? What do you think? If you don't rely on science, be it climate science or medical science, what do you do to form policy? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, woman. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are in session. It's official. We're in session for a Monday afternoon in executive session. So, if you are not going to rely on science to formulate policy, what are you going to use? On what will you form policy? If the vast majority of actual climate scientists across the globe say one thing, and you...
I don't believe it.
What do you use to formulate policy? How do you guide yourself? What do you use? Do you use what you think? Do you use the fact that a congressman brings a snowball into the House of Representatives to disprove global warming? What do you use? How do you formulate policy if you're not going to base it on science? So we're just going to go, and I'm going to talk, and I'm going to talk to Danny in Tampa. Danny, good afternoon. Kick us off here on a Monday afternoon. What you got?
All right, John. Thank you. I'll try to make it a good kickoff here. First of all, what do you go by? A gut feeling, like Trump does. And it's the Donald Trump gut feeling.
Okay.
If you're president and you think like Donald Trump, you don't need science. He knows it all. He knows it all. He knows he's the greatest player. He knows about everything in the world, so we don't have to worry about that. So let's just put our trust in that, John. Let's get to some pressing issues here that I've got to vent over the weekend. Venezuela, of course, number one.
That's one of the... Yeah, that, I appreciate you bringing that up, because I actually am considering that we may be fomenting a war in South America. What do you think?
Yeah, I do, and this I predicted this all along, even before he became president. He was waiting for something like this. I heard today on MSNBC in McCabe's book. I heard correctly. He was quoted as him saying the country we should go to war with is Venezuela. They look at all that oil they have.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. We have a couple of different. We could have found a way. I mean, we do business with people we were in wars with just a few years ago.
That's right.
You know, I think we could have possibly found some sort of way to be related to Venezuela?
This is what he's been waiting for. This is what he's been waiting for, to be his Panama, you know, and he'll go there. And it's just like for years, the United States has been doing this for years and years, these interventions in Latin America. And, you know, it's got, you know, and now with, of course, Wednesday being the big day with Michael Cohen, let's say he said that Lanny Davis said, quote, everything that you know or you think you know about Donald Trump, if Michael Cohen says what he told me, if he says that Wednesday, you're going to be, let's put it this way, chilling and shocked is maybe a word we cannot use very late, okay?
Well, Michael Cohen is he's going to be in, what, one open session?
One open
session. A closed session, and then another open session?
No. Closed tomorrow. Open Wednesday, close Thursday.
Okay, so but he is that he is going to have one hell of a week. Let's face it.
I'm hoping. I don't want to be, you know, just disappointed. He's supposed to. He has a lot of things he can talk about. Let's just see how willing he is. And you know, despite the threats and everything, you know, I mean, it's coming. Maybe the Mueller report is coming soon. It's all coming to a head. It's all coming to a ball. And I'll tell you what, too, Dad, you see, how about Putin over the weekend when he said he's ready for the first Cuban, he's ready for his Cuban Missile Crisis. How about that?
You know what? I actually didn't hear about that. That's just chilling.
That's chilling.
I can see, I was in high school during that.
Yeah, and me too.
You know.
Actually, I was in, we're almost about the same age. I'm 68.
Yeah. And I remember, I actually started a journal because we had just built a house out in Brandon and we had what at the time we called a fallout shelter.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Having rethought that, forget about it. But anyway, so we entertained the notion that we were prepared to survive a nuclear attack.
Yeah, didn't we all think that? Yeah. That's a propaganda.
And I was going to hide under my wood desk.
Yeah, you're under the desk. I'll tell you, this is serious because now we're in a Cold War with them, China and Russia, China and North Korea, and this is the guy. And I'm telling you right now, the sooner, in my opinion, we get rid of this man, either by impeachment. Hopefully he can resign.
Yeah.
Or we'll have to go and beat him. And let me leave you with this. The candidate that we get, and I'm even looking towards Joe Biden. You know, there's nothing wrong with Joe Biden. He's more, you know, and he seems to have the gravitas. He seems to have the numbers that maybe some people say he'll defeat Trump, even some Republicans. I like Bernie Sanders, but get ready. He'll do what he'll do to him, what he would have done to him in 2016. Try to brand him as a communist.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, anybody to beat him, because let me tell you something. When you go to go up against President Roque, okay? like Spike Lee called him, and there's another guy in the news today. And he calls him Agent Orange.
Yeah.
So anyway, John, we're gonna have to see, but this Venezuela thing. This is just typical. And I remember one guy called up about a month ago and said, but you know what? Nowadays it could be backfiring him. If there's some civilians that do get killed, then there. And I'm not excusing Maduro, by the way, in any shape or form. But if there's any civilians that do get killed, and after Trump's intervention, where they have cell phones on, they captured like Panama with Bush, the mass graves and all that. Who knows where that could lead to?
Well, we shall see. Listen, thanks for kicking us off. You have brought in a bunch of threads and some very interesting things.
Yep.
And as we often say around here, I hope we get to talk again.
I hope so too, John. Thank you.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 gets you into the session this afternoon. Mr. Frank Knox will take your call. He'll take your name, get you ready to step up in here and have your say. I don't know if you watched, I think the program that I'm thinking of, it was a 60 Minutes from Sunday. And I believe that was where I saw an article about China and electric vehicles. The Chinese They have something that we don't. They have this centralized government, and there's no questioning it. If the government says we're going to do something, that's what gets done. And the Chinese government apparently has decided that it is going to be the world leader in electric vehicles. They currently manufacture vehicles. There are mobile charging trucks. You can call for a mobile charging truck. There are trucks. There are places you can go, and in 3 minutes, they will change the battery in your car. The entire automobile is run by a touchscreen inside the cab, and there's this cute little rotating thing that talks. Well, of course, naturally, it speaks and listens in Chinese. But so they are committed to the manufacture of electric vehicles, and they are requiring. Apparently, they're requiring that American companies, in order to sell vehicles in China, must manufacture at least 10% of their output as electric vehicles. So, 813-239-9663, we go to Richard in South Shore. Good afternoon, Richard in South Shore. You're in executive session on WMNF.
Good afternoon, John. You know, this stuff about technology theft and everything by the Chinese?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when GM and all those companies go over there, they know what they're getting into. They know what they have to do. They know that they have to give the technology to them, everything. It's part of the price they were paying for doing business over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so they're acting like, you know, I'm sure there is Chinese industrial and espionage and such. But they're acting like it's a big surprise. They knew what they were doing when they went over there.
Yeah. Well, I know people who were actually engaged in trying to interrupt the theft of various kinds of technology, because what would happen is somebody would manufacture something, the Chinese would get a hold of it and try and back engineer it, trying to reverse engineer it and actually steal the technology.
Well, there's that kind of stuff going on, but there's another thing. When you go over there and build an electronics factory, and I know this because I work for an automotive electronics factory.
Mm-hmm.
When you go over there and build an electronics factory and teach those people how to manufacture the electronics that you did in this country, they're going to be building them over there on their own.
Sure they are.
And that's all there is to it.
And they are going to find ways to make that their own. They are going to find, you know, They're going to initiate their own manufacturing. They're not going to say, oh, we can't do that because we learned it from so-and-so.
Exactly. And they knew this, and it was considered part of the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
And so a whole lot of that is that. But as far as where you get your ideas from, if you don't pay attention to science or the professionals in the field is, Danny says the gut. I think it's a slightly lower part of the anatomy that it gets pulled out of.
Oh, I see. You think he's a soul guy, huh?
Yeah. And again, that's the thing that amazes me. You know, we keep saying, oh, man, this has got to be it. This is a car wreck. This is a week.
Yeah.
It just keeps getting deeper and deeper.
We have displayed an amazing resilience for departure from tradition and norm. In this past 2 years, I've been watching politics since Eisenhower. I've never seen anything that even remotely resembled this.
And the amazing thing to me is there are some people otherwise you think are sane and straight thinking, and some of them intelligent who just roll right with it.
Yeah, well, I've said a lot of times that I actually think the Republicans are going to hang around the Trump administration, because I think what they're doing is remaking the court system. I really think that basically one of the fundamental underlying motivations for them sticking as close to this administration as they have is that they have placed dozens and dozens of judges in the federal benches.
Well, you know, John, I think that there are a lot of people who stand to profit either ideologically, financially, whatever, And I understand them being, you know, craven and going against what they say are their principles and everything. The part that I don't understand is the ordinary person who does that. And yeah. You know, they're not in on this.
Well, basically, the fundamental fact of human behavior is that emotion trumps reason. If you'll pardon the, you know, so in order to get to reason, you actually have to be able to put up with your initial emotional reaction.
I think you're spot on. I think a lot of it's anger and envy of someone else. And they've got this, and I don't have this.
Yep.
It's because of these people or that thing or whatever.
Well, that is one of the fundamental techniques of the autocrat is to locate the dissatisfaction in the population and give the people who are dissatisfied somebody to blame it on.
Yeah, I believe it there. Well, I'll let you get everybody back on the straight and narrow here.
We're going to talk about the straight and narrow. I don't know how close you're going to get to it. But anyway, thanks a lot, Richard. We'll talk again.
Have a good day, John.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. We'll get you in contact with Mr. Frank Knox. Frank will answer your call and is going to want your first name, where you're calling from, maybe a word or two about what it is that you have to say, and we will talk about the executive branch of your United States government, Washington, D.C., the cabinet. What's going on in the cabinet? There are some very, very interesting, there's some very, very interesting characters in the cabinet, and they have been doing some very, very interesting things. And you may wish to bring some of those to our attention. And right now, we are going to go over here and talk to Hugh in Dover. Hugh, good afternoon. You're in executive session.
Good afternoon, John. John, I have a question for you.
Okay. You always have good questions. I like your questions.
Well, I hope this is, because it's more on a psychological level, I guess.
Okay. Well, I have a psychological.
Okay. Well, that's good. Like a psychiatry degree degree in psychology?
No, I just have a psychology.
Oh, okay. I guess, does everybody have one then?
Only if you're alive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, with, you know, the small Ed kid, the actor that got in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, from a psychologist's point of view, this is my question to you. Oftentimes people that are in drama or, you know, they're really super talented like this gentleman is, obviously, to be a part of a TV show. Do they get frustrated with current affairs and then, you know, act out like a child, you know, misbehaves, and sometimes they just act out in frustration?
Well, I'm reasonably sure that you could find plenty of examples of highly talented people acting out of frustration. Yeah, you know, I think so. I don't know that I would try to make that a category or a stereotype, but I think you probably could find sufficient numbers of people to say, yeah, that happens.
Well, I'm not trying to offer it as a defense, but I think that probably if there would have been an opportunity for him, because it obviously gay violence and hate crimes in general obviously seem to be high on his list. I just wish that there would have been an opportunity like Marcel Marceau to possibly do it in mime. Can you imagine?
I can see Jesse Smollett. That would be very interesting. Jesse Smollett.
Well, had he done the same crime, you know, but had done it in mime.
Yeah, I think we have. I think we have tripped from the sublime to the ridiculous here.
Well,
appreciate it. Listen,
let me say one quick thing.
Yeah, sure.
And I don't mean to make this as a racist comment, but I know some people are going to perceive it. Had he done it in mime, I think I know
where you're going.
Well, you know, had he done it in whiteface,
exactly.
You know, would he have been above the law? You know, with regards to hate crime?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Above the law.
I don't have any idea, but I'll tell you what. I don't think what face you're wearing when you pay somebody to beat you up and then tell the police that, and then file a false police report on it. I don't think there is any face you can be wearing, white, black, gray, green, polka dot, or whatever, that's going to make any difference. That is just plain old fashioned criminal.
Yeah, he did break the law.
So, you know, no matter how he had done it, I thought I heard a white face comment coming in here.
Sorry, I just couldn't help myself. Originally, when I thought about calling in about him doing it, and my end of the story would have been had he reached behind his back and handed a black rose to the policeman at the end of the story, the Chicago policeman who was so adamant about his acting out behavior. The policeman would have shot him.
I don't know. Again, we have wandered far, far afield, you. And thank you very much. Like I said, it's always interesting to talk with you, and I hope we get to talk again.
I hope so too, John.
Sure enough. All right, we are going to take just a little time out. We're going to bring you some information here about some folks who are also assisting, standing alongside you to support your radio station. Support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus for those having foot, leg, knee, and back pain. Happy Feet Plus offers footwear solutions fashioned to make your feet happy and is a full-service shoe store, including a complimentary foot scan analysis at their 10 Bay Area locations.
Hi, this is Angela B. We're back again. The Caribbean Cruise Music Festival will take place at Skipper's Smokehouse, Saturday, March the 23rd. Live bands include Impulse, Renegade, Jafarai, Trinity 7, Sucker Boys, Spy vs. Spy, Terry Edwards and the Latin Jazz Band. For more information, go online to WMNF.org. The doors open at 4 p.m. See you there.
All right, we are back to executive session here on a Monday afternoon. We have opened up a conversation, basically started out with the fact that the Trump administration is apparently planning to create a group of federal scientists to reassess and counter the government's conclusions on climate change. Now, these are the government's conclusions. This is the National Security Council initiative. Would feature scientists who challenge the seriousness of climate change, and the National Climate Assessment conclusions reached, I guess it was it last year? I don't know. These things go by pretty quickly. Anyway, so they are about to formulate a panel of scientists who's going to argue with the government. Okay, going to argue with their own department, and also is apparently trying to move closer to actually defunding Planned Parenthood by moving to prevent women's health clinics under Title 10 from not only providing abortions but even advising women about them. So the reaction immediately from the medical community is that this is not only unconscionable, but they also call it a breach of medical ethics because they're forcing healthcare professionals to withhold accurate and timely medical information from patients who need it. So that's a couple of the things we started out with. We've also been talking about Venezuela and intellectual property theft by the Chinese, because the president he's been fairly active in the last little while saying that there is a lot of progress being made in negotiations with China, that they think they're actually going to delay this next round of tariffs, which, by the way, you're paying. And also the fact that the president is about to be on his way to Hanoi to meet with Kim Jong-un, who he thinks he can talk out of his nuclear arsenal, the nuclear arsenal that he starved his population to build, and the nuclear arsenal that he has, at least up until now, considered to be the key to the survival of his regime in North Korea. The president believes he can negotiate a way to have Kim abandon his nuclear deterrent. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Going to go over here and talk to Bob in Kenneth City. Bob, good afternoon. You're in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor.
Oh, well, thank you. I was calling in regards to what you had mentioned earlier about our current president and administration getting together his own group of, sounds like getting together his own group of scientists to try to discredit the 99% of the scientists around the world who have come to an agreement that, you know, there's serious global warming going on,
mm-hmm.
and that it's being...
climate change of some kind.
Yes.
Yeah.
And due to, and they're almost all in agreement that it's due to man's, you know, use of coal and other carbon-based materials.
Mm-hmm.
It just, with this administration, every day, it's just something else that just sickens me. And it's just appalling.
They seem to me to be focused on continuing extract and burn as a technology for energy, so that we extract oil, we extract coal, and we burn it, and that's how we get our energy. And I mean, that's what we've been doing. I mean, those were the fuels for the Industrial Revolution, let's face it.
Right.
And we've been doing that now for, what, 150 years? Something like that?
Right.
And those industries are tremendously profitable and very powerful because of their profitability.
Right.
And the president seems to favor profitability over the change that it's going to take to move us into some sustainable energy production.
Right, right. And I think you're exactly right. And that's what, with this president, that's what it seems to just come down to. If he and his buddies or whoever is making these huge profits, that's more important than what's best for our country and the rest of the world.
Well, I think he genuinely believes that it is in the country's best interest to continue down those down that path. But there is what seems to be a mounting body of evidence to the contrary. I mean, you know, yeah, we have a lot of coal. I don't know how many decades worth of coal we have that we can still burn.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and then, you know, there's so many things with this president, and, you know, going to wanting to use tax money for that wall that really should be going, in my mind, especially this year, and probably is related to global warming, is these really strong hurricanes that have caused so much damage, all these forest fires. I mean, the weather patterns are just getting so extreme.
Yeah.
To pull money away from those people that need some help to build a wall or whatever else he wants to do, get involved with Venezuela. I mean, just one every day there's something else. It's just sickening.
We have a mechanism in place that gives us the wherewithal to put in any correction that we see as necessary. And we have called it an election for many years. And that is, I mean, with the we said this before, the danger of democracy is that the population is capable of making very dangerous choices. The beauty of democracy is that it's also it also has the mechanism for correcting them.
Right, and of course, that process of electing someone, this last election was very evident that, you know, when Hillary Clinton got 3 million more votes and still did not get elected, you think that maybe there's a problem with our electoral college system?
I think there is a. I think that our entire system of elections might bear some overhaul. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and to say that was one of the things that America was so proud of and was based on, and, you know, power of the people. And then it seems like this last election was really a lot of manipulation, false news going out. And I'm not going to go on and on, but one of the things that really scares me about the current administration is, first, he discredits all the regular news media so that people doubt all these faithful journalists that try to bring us the truth, and he puts doubt in many people's minds that you could believe what the journalists are saying, but you can believe him, believe Fox News, but no one else.
It's a very, very autocratic tactic.
Very scary. And that's what a lot of these regimes, that's how they work.
Yep.
They discredit the news, they make their own news, they point their finger at someone else to blame it on. And scapegoat.
Yep.
Anyway, it's very, very scary.
Well, I'll tell you what, the more of us turn out in 2020, the more of us turn out for that election, the clearer we can be that no matter what the decision is, at least it is actually the will of the largest part of the American public.
Yeah, and I understand that the League of Women Voters is really working hard to try to change the Electoral College.
Yeah, I haven't been keeping up with that, but let me put it this way: as we part for this afternoon, I have always had and continue to have the deepest respect for the League of Women Voters, and I hope they are just as active as they can possibly be in matters of ensuring the democracy.
Okay, very good.
All right, thanks,
my
Bob.
My only other little comment is, I'm also very sad about Rob Lori.
Well, okay, your opinion is registered. We will talk about that later. Thank you very much, Bob. 813-239-9663. We'll get you in contact with Mr. Frank Knox. Frank will get you ready to step in here and have your say. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's just go ahead and get this last break out of the way, and we'll be back in very, very short order. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Goodwill, one of the original recyclers. Did you know that it takes nearly 1,800 gallons of water to produce one pair of jeans? And when those jeans are donated to Goodwill, they're sold in Goodwill stores, and the proceeds support employment services for people in the local community. Goodwill shoppers and donors promote a greener community. More at goodwill-suncoast.org.
Did a song ever help you get through a rough patch in your life? Or changed how you looked at the world? Set you on a new path in life? Then don't miss the improv theater event, How Music Saved My Life, on Saturday, March 2nd, being performed right here in the WMNF Live Music Studio. Come hear some of your favorite DJs share their stories of the extraordinary influence of music on their lives. Then watch as actors from the Living Mirror Playback Theater Troupe perform those stories, improvising on the spot with words, movement, and music. It's a unique experience that can be, at turns, funny, moving, and exhilarating. The show starts at 7 p.m. March 2nd. Seating is limited, so reserve your seat by calling 813-238-8001. Suggested donation is $10 at the door.
And we very, very strongly invite you to stay tuned after the session this afternoon, because a very special, we have, it's the Acadafly Award Show, featuring the best from the Oscars and a few categories of movie music that were overlooked, plus live music from Rusted Roots' Michael Glabicki and Dirk Miller. It's all on It's the Music Today between 2 and 4, or anytime online at WMNF.org. Stay through the Acadafly Awards for the traffic jam, and we will get you through the traffic jam and on your way. DJ Bobby D will be here with you this afternoon, and we'll be back on tomorrow in the afternoon. And right now, we are going to go and talk to Ted. Is that you down there in Ellenton?
Yeah.
There you are. How's it going down there in the bunker, my friend?
Well, the meth lab only worked for 2 weeks. I went home, as I said, on Thursday. I'm now putting on medical marijuana.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, like I said, you don't want to skip your aromatherapy down here.
No, you gotta have aromatherapy. I need it. I'm hurting bad, John.
I understand. There's a lot of it going around, Ted. it seems to be coming at us from all different directions.
It does appear that way, John. I did hear something in there to Supreme Court that Gorsuch and the drunk both said that Roe versus Wade is settled law.
Settled law.
Yeah,
that's that's kind of heartens me to hear them say that. And there have been several things that were settled law that aren't anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just one of those things, Ted. I personally am about women having the greatest possible latitude in the sovereignty over their own persons. And so that's where I come down on that. I don't think that I have any business weighing in on a woman's pregnancy unless she asks me about it.
Hell, John, I've been married for 26 years. I tried to put my foot down once, and I only twisted my ankle.
I was going to say, you're lucky you got it back.
Yeah. And Woodward's next book, The Fall of the Trump Empire.
Oh, you think that's what Carl's going to be putting out next, huh?
Well, both of them. I think both
Bob,
of them
I mean.
Do it, because they're not doing anything else.
I don't know. I'll tell you what. I'm so torn on that, because I really I think that the guy is dangerous in some very real ways.
Yeah.
And I still want to see the country following the Constitution. I want to cling to the Constitution. And I want us to come through whatever this is with the Constitution intact and the country turned back towards where, the kind of constitutional path, so that the presidency isn't about one man's ego.
Exactly, and guess what? I'll leave you at that. I got to see how the weeds are growing.
All right. Well, listen, you take care of it, and we'll talk again.
Ted. All right. Bye.
Bye. 813. Thanks, Ted, calling from the bunker down in Ellenton. 813-239-9663 as we head down the backstretch of the executive session course for this afternoon. And we're going to go and talk to Chris in Wesley Chapel. Good afternoon, Chris. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hello. So a couple of things I think is really kind of fascinating. Number one, gosh, I cannot stand how election seasons are so long. We're already talking about presidents for next time, right?
Isn't it amazing? It never seems to settle down, does it?
No, it's like, wait, didn't we just talk about the midterm? Okay, I guess we're talking about president now. But I think what's fascinating about this cycle is that a lot of the Democrats, I mean, we have a bunch of them, like the Republicans did last time when Trump was elected in the first place, right? But we have a lot of them, but I think that some of their policies that they're presenting now were somewhat of things that you just didn't talk about back then. You know what I mean? I mean, they're you know, when we're talking about Medicare for All, these were things that just were just weren't really in the mainstream Democrats.
They're kind of fringy, weren't they?
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, now we even have, I think it was an independent, but talking about like universal income, and I'm like, these are really interesting topics that just don't get a lot of play out in our politics. But,
yeah.
But I'm kind of enjoying the new refreshing ideas that are coming out, you know?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of ideas. Now, the thing about the ideas is that I don't know that all of them are workable, but I think that considering what we're looking at, alternatives are worth considering.
Absolutely, and we should be discussing them. I mean, you know what? Look, do I expect us to get universal health care anytime soon? Probably not. I mean, I wouldn't mind it, but I'm not. But I think it's good to keep the discussion open for everybody to learn about what it is and what's going on and what we can and cannot do. You know, mm-hmm. and I think that's really important. And I do like that we're bringing this out of the shadows. You know,
yeah.
we're bringing it out to say, hey, look. We can all talk about this without being worried about, except in some circles being called, you know, a communist or a socialist. You know
yeah,
what I, mean?
I think you're going to hear, I think that in the next couple of years, you're going to hear communist and socialist thrown around a lot.
Right. Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, communist is not as trendy yet, but we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, I don't know that communism holds the kind of freight that it used to be. I mean, wow, when I was in high school, you know, we were not that far past the McCarthy era. And, you know, being called a communist was, whoa. Yeah.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, and now it gets almost dismissed like whatever.
Yeah. I think we've kind of watched I've been watching because the Chinese have done something that nobody, I think, thought could be done. And that is they've taken a communist government and somehow mixed it with a capitalist economy. And I don't think anybody ever thought that could be done. Not that the government doesn't control everything.
Right, right.
But the guy that was
allowed little pieces of capitalism to start to insert into things.
Yeah, the guy that was on 60 Minutes that owns, I think the car company is called NIO in China. He's a billionaire. And there was when we were first talking about all this, communist billionaire was an oxymoron.
Right. Yeah. No. Absolutely. And I think it's also people starting to realize that Europe isn't such the boogeyman that it gets put out to be when we're talking about social programs and the cost and the weight of them all. And,
yeah.
You know, not to say there aren't problems with every one of their that they have over there, but you know, it's still one of those things. It doesn't mean that we can't look at it and say, hey, look, how can we do this but do it better?
Yeah.
And I just get this sometimes on the Republican side, you get the shutdown kind of thing. But we used to even get that on the Democrat side, but at least now it's being discussed. You know, and I think that's really important.
Well, I think that we can make strides in making sure that people in the richest country in the world, in the richest country in the history of the world, have access to medical care.
Right.
And I think that it is in our republic's best interest to give people access to the highest level of education they can achieve.
Yeah, and of course, you know, there is that discussion of how do we pay for it, and that needs to be discussed. I mean, we don't want to be put in a position where we're making a bigger mess of things.
You know,
those are important discussions. But I also don't think we need to shut it down just because that's going to be too expensive. And I'm like, no, we can do this if we really think it out and try to work it out. And I'm hoping that, you know, maybe not the next president, but maybe the one after that, we'll actually start to really see the field sort of change for that to work out.
This is the most innovative nation. This is the most inventive nation on Earth. This is a nation that went from giant exploding fireworks to landing on the moon in 9 years. When John Kennedy said we were going to the moon, we didn't even have the metals to build the rockets. And we ended up some 9 years later walking around on the moon. So this is an extremely inventive society, and when we put our minds to something, if we can get a substantial portion of us behind something, we can achieve things that are unbelievable at the outset.
Absolutely agree.
All right, Chris, listen, thanks. We have tripped across the threshold into the lightning round here, and thank you very much. We'll talk again.
All right, you have a good day.
Sure enough. Also, I want to take a moment to remind you again that we are coming up to the Academy Awards show featuring the best from the Oscars, a few categories of movie music that were looked over, and live music from Rusted Roots, Michael Glabicki, and Dirk Miller. That is all coming up in just a few minutes here on It's the Music Today, 2 to 4, or anytime. On the archives, you can go to WMNF.org, and for a week, that program will be in the archives. The archives for executive session, by the way, contain every episode of the session that was ever broadcast. So if you have questions, if you're curious about how the program has evolved or what's going on here or what's said hither, thither, and yon, you can go to the archive, and that is available all the way back to, I believe it was the 23rd of January a couple of years ago. But right now, we're going to talk to Bob in Tarpon Springs. Bob, good afternoon. You're in executive session.
All right, thanks. I want to touch on a couple of topics that you kind of touched on. What amazes me is that, you know, a company like ExxonMobil hasn't decided to get into the, you know, the solar cell game. They could retool, and they could be the world leader in solar cells within a year. During World War II, the auto manufacturers retooled in a matter of months and went from building cars to building tanks.
Yeah, tanks and airplanes.
There's billions to be made out there in renewable energy, and it baffles me that these big companies aren't jumping on the bandwagon.
I've had the same question, Bob. How come with the kind of resources that you have and the kind of future that you can see, aren't you just going ahead full blast and developing this stuff?
Yeah, I just don't get it. There's always going to be a market for petroleum goods, for plastics, for paint, all of that. They're still going to be in that business, but It's just crazy. There's so much money to be made on that end. Is it just for political reasons they don't want to do it? But, you know, money seems to trump all. But this time it doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, those industries, as we were talking about earlier, are very high. They have a lot of money and a lot of power. And they are deeply, deeply established in the common order of the economy of the country. And changing, change is so uncomfortable. It's awful. And a lot of times we don't change until our survival is threatened, which is, by the way, something that is entirely likely given the look of things.
Well, yeah. But, you know, in our history, the company went from, you know, whale oil to being fully wired and electric within about a 20-year span.
Yeah, yeah, that's another thing that we, we came out of of one technology and very swiftly adapted another. And if you look at what's happened with computers, you will see, I believe, that that has happened again. Bob, I'll tell you what, we got to go. It is the time wall. It doesn't care what kind of discussion we're having. And we are over with. So thank you for calling. I appreciate you wrapping us up this afternoon. And please call again.
All right.
Sure enough. That's going to be executive session for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating. We'll be back tomorrow just after the NPR news. Stay tuned for It's the Music. And in the meantime, always remember,
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.